Morning, brothers and sisters. It's quite ironic that this exhortation was the thoughts of somebody who's not here this morning. I was talking to Mary about it the other day. That'd be a good exhort. I said, oh, okay. But she's, oh, I'll give her a copy of it.
You've got a recording here too, but.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. That's my mistake on it. It's funny, actually, that I think it was in the reading of James, it said we are blessed because our sins are forgiven. And that's exactly what, it's part of the exhortation this morning. It's mainly about judgments. And there are three types of judgments spoken of in relation to the age to come. And the first judgment, of course, is of the nations in the kingdom age, and that's in Revelations. Then there's a judgment of the ungodly in the world, the return of Christ, in 2 Peter chapter 2. And three is judgment of the servants who have made a covenant with God. That's in John 5, verse 27. And of course that's us, isn't it? And it's this last group who will stand at the judgment seat of the Lamb we're going to consider this morning. When the Apostle Paul appeared before Felix in Acts 24, he reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come. That's Paul did. It's recorded that Felix trembled. Maybe it was because in an earlier verse, in verse 22, we are told that Felix was well informed about the matter. This incident can show us a number of things. It shows that an unbaptized person can be held responsible and could be liable for judgment. Judgment is the first principle of our belief. It is therefore related to all the other principles, such as mortality of man, sin, resurrection, the way we live, and so on. We're all aware of the judgment to come, so we must all ensure that our life in the footsteps of our Master, who showed us the way, is right and proper. For we know that we will all stand before the Lord at some stage. For us, there's no escape, for we are all responsible. For have we not each of us made an unbreakable covenant with God? But this is not a thing to dread or to be apprehensive about. There's a hymn in the hymn book which says, go meet him as he comes, with joy, if yet with fear. Now this morning I've divided my talk into five or six sections. The first one I've sort of labelled the process of judgment. The principles of judgment are illustrated many times in Scripture. For example, in Genesis, in the Garden of Eden, God revealed his command. Man disobeyed. Now on this occasion, Adam recognised his guilt, but he couldn't hide from God. He had to appear before him, the judge. Have you eaten the fruit? The answer by Adam was, well, the woman gave it to me, and so on, and I did eat. So Adam said he did it, and the sentence was given. And this is all part of the process of judgment. In John, at the close of his public ministry, Jesus spoke of the judgment in these terms. He said in verse 48 of John 12, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say, what I should speak. It was the Lord's final appeal to the Jews of the day to respond. But the principle that emerges is of a judgment to come. Hearing and rejecting the words spoken by Jesus would bring condemnation, delivered in the last day. How much more for us, brothers and sisters, to read and understand God's word, so we know how to live a life which is acceptable to him. Next section, I've got preaching and judgment. Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 said, "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching." This is a commandment to witness the truth, to preach God's word in our everyday life, what we do, what we say. Remember the quote we hear so often in Timothy, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God," and that's woman too, "the people of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." So, if and when we are preaching the truth in our everyday life, we will be all the better for it. When we are giving, we are in fact actually receiving a blessing. When I quote in the verse in 2 Timothy 4:2 where it says, "Preaching the word, be ready in season," etc., it is also linked with verse 1, which comes the verse before. It says, "I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, that you and I, and we are alive and dead, at his appearing in his kingdom." And then it goes on in the second verse, "Preach the word, be ready in season." We can see then, whether we like it or not, one of the things we will be judged for is what we have done or not done in our lives. And in 2 Timothy, Paul goes on predicting that they will not endure sound doctrine and shall turn away their ears. So, sound doctrine is vital. If we preach words that are not the truth, then we are not able to help others, are we? That, of course, will lead to our rejection at the day of judgment. The Apostle Paul says in Acts chapter 10 and verse 42, and Peter was preaching to the household of Cornelius, it says, "And he," that's Peter, "commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he," that's Jesus, "who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead." So, our words and deeds is the next section. In Matthew 12:36, Jesus spoke of our words in relation to the coming of judgment. And he says, "Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account of in the day of judgment." This still, but it's important to think what we say at all times. For these things that we say now will have a bearing on our salvation on the day of judgment. An earlier verse in the same chapter of Matthew says, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." So watching the way we talk and speak is important, as it must surely reflect what we are thinking of. Romans 2:6 says, "God will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honour and immortality." Our deeds are the things that we do or don't do. They are the basis of our judgment. Not that we can earn eternal life, for that's impossible, we know. We are all condemned to die. But through God's mercy, we have an opportunity to have that situation reversed and receive a reward we don't deserve. This can be confusing because in Psalm 62 and verse 12, David says, "To you, O Lord, belongs mercy, for you render to each one according to his works." It almost says, well, if you do the works, you'll be rewarded. Well, that is true, but not with eternal life. We're rewarded with mercy, and then we get eternal life. Work matters not, because we cannot earn eternal life. but we can earn mercy. We shall each one of us stand before our Master, who will judge us on our attitudes, our conversation, our way of life, and mercy will be shown to each one of us. Next title I have is Judge Not. And first, since I say that, you'll know what I'm going to say. Judge not, lest you be judged. Romans 14 brings our attention to the human tendency we all have to judge one another. It reminds us of that quote, verse 10, Matthew 7. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. There are some matters to which we must give our judgment on when we have an ecclesial life, related to fellowship and ecclesial offices. But what we have to remember is that God in the end is the final judge. And any judgment we make now concerning brothers and sisters, we individually will have to answer for ourselves, when we will have to explain to the Lord why we took that view. The question is, did we put a stumbling block in the way of our brother and sister? It's not. Were we right or wrong? It's, did we help them? The next section I've got is confidence or boldness in the day of judgment. The Apostle John writes in 1 John 4:16, I've used the NIV version of this. And so we know and rely on the love of God, the love of God has for us. God is love. Whoever loves, lives in love, lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence. The King James Version says boldly, but it's confidence is a better word, when we have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world we are like Jesus. There's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. And fear, we all know, is not a very good translation. We better read reverence, isn't it? The reverence of God rather than fear. For when we approach the judgment seat of Christ, our hope is in God's love and mercy. And I was surprised, brothers and sisters, just how many chapters and verses there are telling us, reassuring us, this is so. There are a lot. Here's another one, Hebrews 10, verse 15. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, open for us through the curtain, that is, his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with a full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from our guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. Yeah, God loves you and God loves me. If he loves us, why should we fear him? If we do fear him, we are saying, God doesn't really care or love me. Let us then be like Paul. We all know this famous statement he makes in 2 Timothy verse 4. I fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there's a store for me. There is stored up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And here it is, brothers and sisters. Not only to me, not only to Paul, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. It belongs to us too. So why worry? Why have fear? Paul tells you, Jesus tells you, God tells you. How sick can you be? Have no fear. The last section I've got is rejected. And this, we pray, will not be us. This, for the rejected in the Bible are styled as the abominable, the unbelieving, murderers, whoremongers, liars and sorcerers, those who worship idols. These are they that will be rejected. There is also those fearful and unbelieving class of professors of godliness who cry, Lord, Lord, but do not believe what he says or talks. But to these unbelieving lovers of lies, though they say, Lord, Lord, and prophesy in his name, Jesus says in John 12, he that rejected me and received me not my words, the words I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So to receive the word is to believe in him. If people refuse to believe what he taught, they condemn themselves. And so, here ends the lesson. Now wait, there's more. What about sin? We've hardly mentioned sin. Well, it doesn't really apply to us. Not really. How can we say? Well, we sin like everyone else does. We are no better than them that sin. For all have fallen short of the glory of God. But we have a high priest, the one we are remembering this morning, in the bread and the wine before us on the table. We have access to God through him. And so we regularly approach him in prayer, don't we? Asking him for forgiveness for our sins. And we are told that he, God, will forgive us our sins. It says in Hebrews 8 verse 12, for I, that's God, will be merciful to your unrighteousness, and to your sins and your iniquities will I remember them no more. We read this morning in 2 Peter verse 9 that God has purged us from all our old sins. So then, if I give a prayer to God, say right now, and I drop dead, I'm not going to, but if I drop dead, when I'm resurrected, what sins do I have to answer for? Because God's forgiven me all my sins. Because he says, if we pray in sincerity and in truth, we will be forgiven our sins. So what do I have to answer for? I have to answer for the way I've treated you, my brothers and sisters. You all know that, of course, because we read it in the Bible. It's not the sins you commit we will have to answer for at the judgment seat, but our way of life. So we'll finish with the verse, or some verses from Matthew 25, and I'll paraphrase it. It's when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the glorious angels with him, then shall he sit on the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all the nations. Then shall the king say to them on his right hand, come, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And this is the judgment then, because Christ goes on to say, I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, you came to see me. You know all those. And then the righteous one say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and fed you? Or thirsty and give you a drink? Sick and in prison, and so on. Then the king, that's Christ, answers, and as much as you have done it to one of the least of these my brothers and sisters, you have done it to me. That's what we will be judged on, brothers and sisters, not our sins. And here is the commandment in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. We love, that's you and I, because he, that's God, first loved us. Right? Whoever claims to love God, yet hates a brother or sister, is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister, who they can see, cannot love God, who they cannot see. And he has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. So that's what we have to do. So that's what we will be judged for. Put it into practice, brothers and sisters. And I love you all.